I thought I'd gotten all the crying out this morning, and then Rick has to start again, reminding me of the history, the rich history of God's faithfulness to me and to my family and to this church. And I got to say, I heard somebody say that two signs of a healthy church are crying babies and singing men. And I want you to know, church, that I have seen both of those in great numbers this morning. And so, well done. You guys are doing a great job of living out this mission and vision as a church. For those of you that don't know me, my wife and I, my family and I, we've been a part of Cedar Creek Church up until 2 years ago for, I guess, about 26 or 27 years. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our story today, because when Pastor Philip called and asked me if I would be willing to share today, he said that we're in a series called Transitions. And I thought, man, that's something we know a little bit about, right? As a family and as a church, we have been through many transitions. And so I want to share a little bit of that with you this morning, talk about our transition, talk about this church's transition, and ultimately our campus, our location of Cedar Creek, which transitioned and became an autonomous independent church about 2 years ago. So let me take you back just a little bit. December 20th, 1996, 5 days before Christmas, Kelly and I closed on the purchase of our very first home here in Aiken. We had moved here from the Atlanta area with our 14-month-old son, Will. And about 2 weeks prior to that, I had just graduated from the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. We were brand new to Aiken. We knew really only two people, Jack and Betsy Garrity, who were my training agent, and his wife. We did know our realtor a little bit. And then we had met these people at the closing of the house that we bought. As it turns out, the people that we bought our house from in Beaver Creek ended up being the next door neighbors. The house that we bought was Debbie's dad's house until he passed away, and we happened to come along at the right time, and we were able to buy this house and get to know Rick and Debbie Flippin. They had three young boys. We had one young boy, and so we became fast friends. And as the dust settled after Christmas and our move in, all of that happened at the same time, Debbie invited us after the new year to church. And Kelly said, well, what kind of church is it? You know, you got to ask some of those questions, right? When somebody invites you to church, I want to know what's going on. Are there going to be snakes, right? Is there going to be a lot of stand up, sit down, you know, calisthenics kind of thing? And Debbie said, I don't know. It's a church, but it meets in a daycare and you can drink coffee. We were like, interesting. We had never heard of such. But it sounded good to us. Kelly had grown up in a traditional Baptist church in Mississippi. I didn't grow up in church, but I was saved, gave my life to the Lord my senior year of high school, and I began attending the little Baptist church in my hometown. When Kelly and I got married, we briefly attended another sort of large Baptist church in the outer Atlanta area where we had dedicated our son, Will. And we decided then that we wanted to raise our family with Jesus in the center. So here we are, and we landed at Cedar Creek Church, and it was meeting weekly on Sundays at a place called New Generations. Some of you old timers remember that over on Pine Log Road. It was called Jenna Gap before it was New Generations. We immediately sensed God leading us and growing us as we worshiped and as we served week after week. Our founding pastor, Richard Swift, led us through one building campaign after another. And he hired Pastor Philip as the home group pastor and the associate pastor over small group ministry. And our home groups went from 16 groups to almost 100. And we were all in. Each time God called, we said yes. From learning to give sacrificially and trust him to build more worship space for those who were coming to faith in Jesus, to serving in Kids Creek, which it wasn't even called Kids Creek back then, we just called it children's ministry, to leading a home group, to coaching leaders, serving locally through outreach with local partners, serving globally on short-term outreach trips, and ultimately to transitioning from being an FBI agent 8 years before I could retire to answer God's call to plant another campus of Cedar Creek Church. In the transition, after Pastor Richard's retirement, Pastor Philip led a bold new strategy for the mission and for the vision of Cedar Creek Church. That would include launching campuses, right? Other locations where people could gather and worship. And the whole idea was that we would open more seats during optimal worship times across Aiken County. And Sunday, January 18th, 2009, the West Campus, that was our campus, it began meeting for public worship at the USC Aiken Convocation Center, setting up, tearing down every week in basketball gyms. And 90 adults and 36 kids from this location went with us. And within 6 months, about 40 of those adults and their kids either left us and went to help with the Ridge campus launch or went to other churches altogether. And it was an incredibly exciting, challenging, and powerful time of transition in the life of our church. In 3 years at the Convocation Center, and another transition would follow where we would move into the Aiken County Family YMCA, and we began to share a building with them. And then fast forward to the fall of 2022, Pastor Philip shared that he was sensing that he was in a window, he called it, 3 to 5 years before he felt like it was time for him to retire. And he began praying and having these conversations about what the future looked like for Cedar Creek Church and what it looked like for our campuses. And God reminded us in that season that from the very beginning, those of you that were here at that time, you remember, from the very beginning, Pastor Philip said, we don't know what's going to happen with these campuses, right? We want whatever God wants. They may stay campuses forever, or they may end up launching out as autonomous churches. We don't know. We just want to be open to what God wants to do. And so for us at the West Campus, when Pastor Philip shared this, we felt strongly that we were supposed to stay a network of churches, but Pastor Philip said, I feel like you're supposed to launch and become an autonomous church. And so he's always been the GVL, God's visionary leader, around here and in our lives. And so we said, okay. And on Sunday, April 16th, 2023, the day after we celebrated the 30th birth anniversary, if you remember that, out at Generations Park, the next day we announced that the West Campus was gonna once again transition and pursue God's call and become a new church. We had no idea how to do that. We had never transitioned a campus before into an independent church. But on January 7th, 2024, just over 2 years ago, Fearless Church was born. We just finished our second year, and we give God all the glory and all the praise for all that he has done in us and through us and all that he will do in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead. I believe that our best days are still ahead of us, and I believe that's true for Fearless Church, and I believe that's true for Cedar Creek Church as well. I am eternally grateful to this church, to this place, and to this people, to all of you for years, the decades of faithfulness to the Lord, to see his kingdom advance. Through the ministry of this church, my marriage was strengthened. Through the ministry of this church, my kids came to know Jesus and be baptized, along with thousands of others who, together with the Lord, we have helped find their way back to God. Once again, Cedar Creek Church is in transition. Pastor Philip prepares to end his time as the GVL, and as Pastor Mike prepares to assume the reins, I want to, in the time that we have left this morning, I want to encourage you, and I want to call you to a future of even more kingdom faithfulness. If you don't hear another word that I say this morning, for those of you that are taking notes, write this down. Here's our bottom line for the day. Everything that we're going to talk about can be summed up in this one sentence. Fearless faith trusts an unknown future to a known God. Fearless faith trusts an unknown future to a known God. Fearless faith in Jesus is what we talk about at our church. It's what we seek to live out at Fearless Church. And we took our name from 2 Timothy 1:7. For those of you that are familiar with that verse, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." No fear, right? Just power, love, and self-discipline. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get to work. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 and hopefully give us a biblical picture of what it means to have fearless faith in the transition. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you for the breath that you've put in our lungs. God, we thank you for how you lead, how you move, how you work all things together for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. And I'm reminded even this morning, God, as we sang songs, that the lyrics of these songs, the biblical truth of these songs intertwine and they just flesh out the message that you've put on my heart. And we didn't get together on that. We didn't know anything about that. But the same spirit that moved this worship team to create this set weeks ago is the same spirit that gave me this message. And God, we thank you that your word is the sword of the Spirit. And I pray this morning that it would never return void, that it always accomplishes its purposes, and that you would open our ears, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth of who you are, what you have done, and why that gives us hope and joy. We love you. We thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I let my little tag pop out here, so I'm going to have to find it real quick. Joshua 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It says this: After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So before Joshua steps into leadership, the Israelites have been on a long journey. God has rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He's led them through the Red Sea, and he has brought them into the wilderness. Because of fear and because of disobedience, what should have been a short journey turned into 40 years of wandering the desert. And during that time, God still provided for them. He still taught them his law through Moses, and he formed them into a people. And now Moses has died. The wilderness season is ending, and the people are standing on the edge of the Jordan River, just outside of the promised land. They're no longer wandering. They're preparing to move forward. And Joshua is stepping into leadership at a moment when the mission is unfinished. The promise is still in front of them, and God is calling them to trust him enough to finally cross over. This morning, I got two truths for you about transition. The first one is this: transition is hard even when it's right. Transition is hard, even when it's right. Every transition, every season of change creates tension. Even good transitions are often unsettling, right? Even God-ordained transitions come with uncertainty. Why? Because change, it raises real questions, right? What's going to happen now? Will it feel the same? Will God still move in the same ways that he has? Or are we going to lose something? What's it going to be like? We don't know. Joshua 1 opens with a church-level moment of uncertainty. A beloved leader is gone. A new leader is stepping forward, and the future is unknown, and the mission is unfinished. And into that moment, God speaks first, right? Joshua 1:1 begins with five heavy words, after the death of Moses. Now, thankfully, Pastor Philip has not died. It'd be a different message if it was today, right? He's just retiring, as he should, as he deserves, as God has led him to do after years of faithful service and following the Lord. And here's the thing. Moses wasn't just a leader, right? He was the leader. He was the deliverer. He was the lawgiver, the voice of God to the people, right? He was the one that they trusted. And Pastor Philip has served, as I said, as God's visionary leader, as our GVL, right, for many years. And he's led us through some great times, and he's led us through some tough times. And he is finishing well. In their transition, Israel stands on the edge of the promised land with the mission unfinished. And notice this, God doesn't allow the people to stall in nostalgia or in their fear, right? It's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to think about how things were and to kind of get stuck there. I did that a little bit this morning when I walked in. The first thing, I was just all in my feels, thinking about all that God has done in my life and in the life of my family and in the life of this church. Many of you who I know your stories, right? It's easy to go, man, remember that time? Remember that season? And if we're not careful, we can get stuck there and be stalled in our nostalgia. God doesn't allow that to happen. God is the one who initiates this transition. Don't miss this, right? It says, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. Joshua didn't say, what now, Lord? God speaks first. He's the one who initiates the transition. This transition was not an accident. It was not a failure. God is not scrambling to recover. God initiates the change. Don't miss this. This is an important truth for us this morning, Cedar Creek Church. Leadership transitions do not mean God is absent. Often they mean God is advancing his work. Moses didn't die too early. Pastor Philip is not retiring too early. Joshua didn't step in too soon. Pastor Mike is not stepping in too soon. God was not caught off guard then or now. God is sovereign over his servants, and God preserves his mission. Listen, I know you know this, but I want to remind you this morning. The church does not belong to a pastor. The mission does not depend on one personality. The future is not fragile in God's hands. That's good news. So here's the second truth of transition that I want you to write down this morning. God is sovereign over seasons, leaders, and timing. God is sovereign over seasons, leaders, and timing. The mission continues even when the leader changes. Look at verses 2 and 4. It says, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan. Notice what God does not say. He doesn't say, pause the mission. Hold right there, right? He doesn't say, shrink back from the promise. He doesn't say lower expectations. The assignment stays the same. The land promised under Moses is still the land promised under Joshua. The vision didn't disappear when leadership changes. And so the calling doesn't reset. The gospel doesn't shift. The mission doesn't get smaller. Listen, helping people find their way back to God is more important today than I think it's ever been. In Aiken County alone right now, there are 90,000 people statistically, that are unchurched and unsaved. There's about 180,000 in our county, and about half of those that keep up with that kind of stuff tell us, are unsaved, unchurched, right? The mission hasn't changed, right? Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. That is still in front of us. More and more people are moving here, moving to this area. That number used to be 70,000 about 15 years ago. It's going up. More and more people are moving here. Listen, we can argue about where they're coming from or how they're getting here, or we can focus on reaching out to them, connecting them with other believers, other people that are growing in their faith in Jesus, helping them grow in that faith and teaching them how to serve, how to use the gifts and talents that they have to serve somebody else so that they can honor God with their lives. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because that's what we've been doing for 30 plus years. Reach, connect, grow, serve, honor. Living out the purposes that God has for us in this community. Listen, God's work is bigger than any one leader. But he still uses leaders to move his work forward. And transitions don't cancel the promise. They carry it forward. Look at Psalm 71:5. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Our hope is in God. Our confidence is in him. In verse 5, God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This may be the most important verse in this entire passage. God doesn't say, I'll be with you differently. He doesn't say, I'll be with you less. He doesn't say, you're going to have to figure this out on your own. He says this, the same presence that rested on Moses will rest on Joshua. And this matters deeply for a church family, right? God was with Pastor Richard, and God has been and is with Pastor Philip, and God is with our current elders and leadership, and God will be with Pastor Mike. How do I know? Because God's faithfulness is consistent. He is faithful. The Bible says, even when we are faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. The same God who led you here will lead you forward. Our hope is in God. He holds the future in his hands. And here's the thing. When God initiates the transition, his presence remains the same and his promises move forward. This is Jesus's church. We all agree on that this morning. This is his church, right? From the beginning of Cedar Creek Church, we've stood on and built upon this truth that we see in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus says to Peter, when Peter declares that he's the Messiah, Jesus says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It's his church. He's growing it, y'all. He's going to continue to build it. He sustains it, and he moves it forward. A transition can be scary, right? But God commands us to be courageous. Look at that passage. Three times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, but never without instruction. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, right? Instruction. Courage is not hype. Courage is not denial. It's anchored obedience. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to the truth of who he is and what he has done and why that gives us hope and joy and how we live that out and put that into practice in our lives. Here's what sometimes happens. In seasons of transition, churches drift toward one of two dangers. One is fear-based paralysis, right? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? We don't know. The future is scary. I'm just going to freeze. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to take any steps, right? Or the other is emotion-based analysis, right? Oh, because I feel this way, because I'm sad, because I'm mad, whatever it is, I'm going to act this way. I make decisions based on my emotions. But God gives us a better anchor. He says, stay rooted in my word. When leadership changes, scripture doesn't. When uncertainty rises, God's word remains steady. Fearless faith says, we may not know every next step, but we know where God has spoken, right? We know what he has said. We know what he has promised. He's promised to never lead us or forsake us. He's given us a mission to reach those who are far from him, to bring the good news, the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done to those that need it. And that leads me to my last thought that I want to leave you with this morning. The same God who led you here will lead you forward. Israel could have stayed on the east side of the Jordan talking about Moses, but God called them to cross. And Cedar Creek Church, this moment is not the end of a story. It's simply the turning of a page. The same God who was faithful before, the same God who is present now, the same God will lead us into what's next. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he doesn't change, that he always stays the same? And he changes us from the inside out, right? One step of faith at a time, but he never changes. And here's the thing. This message of the gospel, it doesn't change. But how we communicate it changes from time to time. Because cultures change and people change, but the message itself never changes. And so the mission doesn't change. Jesus said that we're called to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything he has commanded. Right here. Teach them his word. How long, Wes? Until he comes back? Or until he calls you to be home with him? I got some good news for you this morning. If you're not dead, God's not done. All right? He's not finished with you yet. And so he still has work for you to do. So how do we do it? How do we go forward? I got three simple things for you. Here's what it looks like moving forward. Fearless faith for a church in transition. Number one is choose unity over division. Choose unity over division, right? This often happens when churches get in a place of transition or crisis and all of a sudden we get divided over certain things. You know, Jesus once prayed for us. We call it the high priestly prayer in John 17. Jesus prays for himself and he prays for his disciples. And then it says that he prayed for those who would come to hear the message and believe, talking about us. And what he prayed was this. He prayed that we would be one. He said, just as I am in you and you are in me, Father, may they be in us and we be in them. And he said, so that the world will know that you sent me. That's powerful stuff, y'all. Our unity is evidence of the gospel to a broken world. That's what he said. That's what he prayed. And I have to imagine if Jesus prayed it, the Father answered it. Amen? That we would be one. So choose unity over division. The second thing is that we have to choose hope over nostalgia. And I've already kind of hit this a little bit this morning. It's easy to get stuck in places of remembering things, right? Well, it hadn't been the same since this or this season and that season, right? I like it that way. I wish we could go back and do it this way, right? And we get stuck in nostalgia. But what nostalgia misses is the hope of the future. God is a God of new, right? He's always doing a new thing, like Reggie talked about last week, right? What's new in you? I love that. That's a great question to be asking right now. What's new in you? What's God doing that's new in you? What's he doing new in his church? Because new always reminds us that he's a God of hope and he's out ahead of us. Last but not least, number three, third thing for fearless faith for a church in transition is trust over fear. Trust over fear. When I got here almost 30 years ago, I didn't know much of the Bible. One of the first verses that I ever memorized was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that has been a life verse that I've clung to at different times in my life, remembering to acknowledge God and to trust him no matter what, even when I'm uncertain, even when I'm afraid, trust. Because he's trustworthy. Because he doesn't change. Because his purposes are still the same. And because we live in a broken, fallen world that needs the truth and the love of Jesus more than at any time in history. And God uses us to bring that message. I know, I can't believe it either. Here's what I know. When I got here 30 years ago, I didn't know how to love my wife like Christ loves the church. There's still some days when I probably don't do that very well, but I feel like I've learned how to do that. You can ask her. She's sitting down here just after the service. Check on me if you want to. When I got here 30 years ago, I didn't know what it meant to raise my kids in a home that honored Jesus and loved Jesus. I didn't know how to point them. I didn't know how to disciple my kids and teach them about Jesus so that they could make a decision of faith and trust and grow in their own faith in Jesus. I didn't know how to do that. This place taught me how to do that through the teaching of his word and through life-on-life relationships, through home groups and small groups, through serving one another, using the gifts and talents that we have to serve somebody else. It's one of the greatest ways that God grows us spiritually. And those of you that are like me, I'll be 59 in May. If you're over 50, I'm gonna call you old today. Don't get mad. But those of you that have some wisdom and have some experience, can we say that? This is an important time in this transition. Because the 20s and 30-somethings that are here, those crying babies back there, they need you. Don't check out. They need your wisdom. They need your experience. They need to know what it's like to persevere and to endure for 30 years, and trusting Jesus and walking in faith when they're in a crisis. One of the greatest days of our life was the day that God brought Charlie and Colleen Timmerman to our small group because we were all 32 and we all had two-year-old babies and we had no wisdom. We saw Colleen this morning, and just to remember her patting Kelly on the leg and saying, baby, it's going to be okay, I promise you. It was huge. And sometimes when we get older, what we think is, I've done my time. They don't need me. You're wrong. You are more valuable than you could ever imagine. I'm on that side of it now, 30 years down the road of this journey. I've seen it over and over again. And you young people, I love you, but you don't know everything you think you know, all right? I was you 30 years ago, and I thought I had it all wrapped up. And you need some wisdom. You need some experience. You need some people that you allow in your life to speak truth to you in hard times and celebrate with you in good times. That's how God does this thing. That's why we say we're better together, right? So I want to encourage you. I want to call you today to more faithfulness, kingdom faithfulness. Step forward, step in. What can I do? How can I be a part and lead through this transition? How can I encourage, right? How can I promote unity over division? How can I trust God more? How can I bring hope in this place? Debbie Hubbard's here this morning. She invited us to this church over 30 years ago. And when she came walking in, I said, you know, it hit me this morning. You had no idea that when you were inviting us to church that one day I would marry all three of your sons. You never know. When you invite somebody to church, what God's going to do in them and through them, you never know. Who's the next small group leader in Kids Creek? Who's the next home group leader? Who's the next pastor? Who's the next worship leader? Who's the next parking lot greeter? Right? The most important position on the whole place, right? People make a decision within 10 minutes of coming to a church, whether they're coming back. It begins in the parking lot. I could talk all day, y'all, and I know you're tired of hearing me say it, but I just want to encourage you and call you to a future. You have a bright, bright future. The best days of this church are ahead of it, and God is moving forward, and I just appreciate the chance this morning to share a little bit about what he's done in my life and the life of my family, and I love y'all, and I'm praying for y'all. Let's pray together. As we get ready to close our time together this morning, I just want to let you know there's some folks standing at the sides of the room that would love nothing more than to pray with you and for you. Prayer team's there. If you have a need this morning, if you came in with some kind of burden, something that you're struggling with and you just don't know what to do with it, I want to encourage you just to take a walk. Walk over there to one of those folks and let them talk to God with you and for you. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for another day of life, God, for waking us up this morning, putting breath in our lungs, bringing us here to this place, whether we're physically in the building or whether we're watching online through the technology. We know that none of us are here by accident, but we're here because you have something that you want to say to each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank you for your word that is true, that always accomplishes its purpose, that never returns void, that is the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning, you would do what only you can do in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, in this time of transition for this church, for Pastor Philip and his family, for Pastor Mike and his family, we thank you in advance for your faithfulness, how you've led through this transition, how you initiated it, and how you continue to walk it out. Lord, help us to be faithful, to trust you when we doubt, and to know that our best days are still ahead of us because you give us hope. And Lord, you heard your children then, and you hear your children now because you're the same God. And you answered prayers back then, and you are still answering prayers now because you're the same God. And you provided then, and you are providing now because you're the same God. And you moved in power back then. God, we pray that you would move in power now because you're the same God. You were a healer then, and you're a healer now. And you were a savior then, and you are a savior now. And Jesus, I pray that you would do what only you can do in our hearts and in our lives. We love you. We thank you. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.